Chapter 98. Brake Hydraulic Systems. Hydraulic Principles. Need for hydraulics. In addition to the mechanical advantage provided by leverage at the brake pedal assembly, all vehicles use hydraulic pressure to help increase brake application force. All braking systems require that a driver's force is transmitted to the drum or rotor attached to each wheel. See Figure 98-1. The force that can be exerted on the brake pedal varies due to the strength and size of the driver. Engineers design braking systems to require less than 150 pounds of force, or 68 kilograms, from the driver, yet provide the force necessary to stop a heavy vehicle from high speed. Non-compressibility of liquids. Hydraulic systems use liquids to transmit motion. For all practical purposes, a liquid cannot be compressed. No matter how much pressure or force is placed on a quantity of liquid, its volume remains the same. This fact enables liquids in a closed system to transmit motion. See Figure 98-2. If piston A is moved a distance of 1 inch, the liquid is displaced ahead of it and piston B moves 1 inch as well. Liquids cannot be compressed, but any air trapped in the system can be compressed. This simple hydraulic system has been contaminated with air. See Figure 98-3. Even though piston A is moved a distance of 1 inch, piston B does not move if the load on it is greater than the pressure of the air in the system. For example, if the load on piston B is 50 pounds per inch to the movement of piston A must compress the air in the system to that same pressure before piston B begins to move. A brake hydraulic system must be air-free or the brakes do not operate correctly and the driver feels a spongy brake pedal that is also often lower than normal. Refer to Figure 98-1. Hydraulic brake lines transfer the brake effort to each brake assembly attached to all four wheels. Refer to Figure 98-2. Because liquids cannot be compressed, they are able to transmit motion in a closed system. Refer to Figure 98-3. Hydraulic system must be free of air to operate properly. If air is in the system, the air is compressed when the brake pedal is depressed and the brake fluid does not transmit the force to the wheel brakes. Figure 98-4. A 1 pound force exerted on a small piston in a sealed system transfers the pressure to each inch tooth throughout the system. In this example, the 1 pound force is able to lift a 100 pound weight because it is supported by a piston that is 100 times larger in area than the small piston. Pascal's Law. Definition. The hydraulic principles that permit a brake system to function were discovered by a French physicist, Blaise Pascal. Pascal's law states, when force is applied to a liquid confined in a container or an enclosure, the pressure is transmitted equally and undiminished in every direction. Example of Pascal's law. To help understand this principle, assume that a force of 10 pounds is exerted on a piston with a surface area of 1 inch 2. Since this force measured in pounds, or newtons is applied to a piston with an area measured in square inches, the pressure is the force divided by the area or 10 psi. It is this pressure that is transmitted, without loss, throughout the entire hydraulic system. See Figure 98-4. Refer to pressure calculations on page 1118. If two out of the three factors are known, then the other one can be calculated by using this formula. A practical example involves a master cylinder with a piston area of 1 square inch, one wheel cylinder with an area of 1 square inch, and one wheel cylinder with a piston area of 2 square inches. See Figure 98-5. Brake hydraulic forces. The real magic of a hydraulic brake system is the fact that different forces can be created at different wheel cylinders. More force is necessary for front brakes than for rear brakes because, as the brakes are applied, the weight of the vehicle moves forward. Larger area pistons are used in brake calipers on the front wheels to increase the force used to apply the front brakes. Not only can hydraulics act as a force machine, by varying piston size, but the hydraulic system also can be varied to change piston stroke distances. On a typical vehicle, a driver input force of 150 pounds, or 660 newtons, is boosted both mechanically, through the brake pedal linkage, and by the power booster to a fluid pressure of about 1,700 psi, or 11,700 kilopascals. With a drum brake, the wheel cylinder expands and pushes the brake shoes against a brake drum. The distance the shoes move is only about 0.005 to 0.012 of an inch, or 0.015 to 0.30 millimeters. With a disc brake, brake fluid pressure pushes on the piston in the caliper a small amount and causes a clamping of the disc brake pads against both sides of a rotor disc. The typical distance the pads move is only about 0.001 to 0.003 of an inch, or 0.025 to 0.076 mm. See Figure 98-6. Refer to Figure 98-5. The amount of force on a piston is the result of pressure multiplied by the surface area. Frequently asked question. How much brake fluid is moved when the brake pedal is depressed? During a typical brake application, only about 1 teaspoon, or 5 milliliters or cc, of brake fluid actually is moved from the master cylinder and into the hydraulic system to cause the pressure buildup to occur. Hydraulic pressure and piston size. If a mechanical force of 100 pounds is exerted by the brake pedal pushrod onto a master cylinder piston with 1 square inch of surface area, the equation reads as follows. 100 pounds divided by 1 square inch equals 100 psi. Conversely, if the same 100 pounds force is applied to a master cylinder piston with only half the area, 0.5, or half a square inch, the equation shows that the system pressure is doubled. 100 pounds divided by half a square inch equals 200 psi. The result in this case is 100 psi of brake system hydraulic pressure. See Figure 98-7. However, if the same 100 pounds force is applied to a master cylinder piston with twice the area, 2 square inches, the equation reads as follows. 100 pounds divided by 2 square inches equals 50 psi. Doubling the area of the master cylinder piston cuts the hydraulic system pressure in half. Refer to Figure 98-6. The brake pad, friction material, is pressed on both sides of the rotating rotor by the hydraulic pressure of the caliper. Refer to Figure 98-7. Mechanical force and the master cylinder piston area determine the hydraulic pressure in the brake system. Refer to Figure 98-8. Hydraulic pressure is the same throughout a closed system and acts with equal force on equal areas. Refer to Figure 98-9. Differences in brake caliper and wheel cylinder piston area have a major effect on brake application force. Application force and piston size. While the size of the master cylinder piston affects the hydraulic pressure of the entire brake system, weight shift and bias require that the heavily loaded front brakes receive much higher application force than the lightly loaded rear brakes. These differences in force are obtained by using different sized pistons in the wheel cylinders and brake calipers. Pascal's law states that a pressurized liquid in a confined space acts with equal pressure on equal areas, and as long as the pistons in a hydraulic system have the same area, 100 psi from the master cylinder results in 100 psi of braking force. See Figure 98-8. However, when equal pressure acts on unequal areas, as with different sized pistons, the brake application force differs as well. The mechanical force at the brake pedal pushrod is applied to the master cylinder piston area and converted into brake system hydraulic pressure. Brake calipers and wheel cylinders perform exactly the opposite. Hydraulic pressure applied to the wheel cylinder or brake caliper piston area is converted back into mechanical force that is used to apply the wheel friction assemblies. Because the variables are identical, the same equation can be rewritten to explain how changes in piston size affect brake application force. It is piston surface area, not diameter, that affects force. In the simple brake system, the pedal and linkage apply 100 pounds force on a master cylinder piston with an area of 1 square inch. This results in a pressure of 100 psi throughout the hydraulic system. At the front wheels, the 100 psi is applied to a brake caliper piston that has an area of 4 square inches. The equation for this example is as follows. 100 psi times 4 square inches equals 400 pounds. In this case, the difference in piston areas, 1 square inch compared to 4 square inches, results in the 100 psi brake pedal pushrod force being increased for 400 pounds of application force at the wheel friction assembly. The hydraulic pressure is still 100 psi at all points within the system, and the increase in application pressure is solely the result of 100 psi acting on a 4 square inches piston. The 400 pounds is a mechanical force, not hydraulic pressure. The drum brakes at the rear wheels of the same brake system use wheel cylinders whose pistons have 3/4 of an inch of surface area. If the hydraulic system pressure remains 100 psi, the equation for this example is as follows. 100 psi 0.75 square inches equals 75 pounds. Just as larger pistons increase application force, this example shows that smaller pistons decrease it. The system hydraulic pressure remains 100 psi at all points, but the smaller piston is unable to transmit all of the available pressure. As a result, the mechanical application force is reduced to only 75 pounds. See Figure 98-9. Piston size versus piston travel. In disc brakes, the mechanical force available to apply the brakes is 4 times greater because of the size difference between the master cylinder and caliper pistons. Some of the hydraulic energy is converted into increased mechanical force. The trade-off is that the larger caliper piston with the greater force does not move as far as the smaller master cylinder piston. The amount of hydraulic energy converted into mechanical motion is decreased. For example, in a typical disc brake system, if the master cylinder piston stroke is 1 inch, the caliper piston moves only 1/4 inch. See Figure 98-10. Refer to Figure 98-10. The increase in application force created by the large brake caliper piston is offset by a decrease in piston travel. Hydraulic principles and brake design. When a brake system is designed, the hydraulic relationships play a major part in determining the sizes of the many pistons within the system. The piston sizes selected must move enough fluid to operate the wheel cylinder and brake caliper pistons through a wide range of travel, while, at the same time, they must create enough application force to lock the wheel brakes. The piston sizes chosen should also provide the driver with good brake pedal feel so the brakes are easy to apply in a controlled manner. Master cylinders are designed with pistons that are large enough to move the required volume of fluid and a power booster to reduce the required brake pedal force. Master cylinders. Purpose and function. The master cylinder is the heart of the entire braking system. No braking occurs until the driver depresses the brake pedal. The brake pedal linkage is used to apply the force of the driver's foot into a closed hydraulic system. Master cylinder reservoirs. Most vehicles built since the early 1980s are equipped with see-through master cylinder reservoirs, which permit owners and service technicians to check the brake fluid level without having to remove the top of the reservoir. Some countries have laws that require this type of reservoir. See Figure 98-11. The reservoir capacity is great enough to allow for the brakes to become completely worn out and still have enough reserve for safe operation. The typical capacity of the entire braking system is usually 2 to 3 pints, or 1 to 1.5 liters. Vehicles equipped with four-wheel disc brakes usually hold 4 pints, or 2 liters, or more. Case study. Bigger is not better. A vehicle owner wanted better braking performance from his off-road race vehicle. Thinking that a larger master cylinder would help, a technician replaced the original 1-inch bore diameter master cylinder with a larger 1 1/8-inch bore diameter master cylinder. After bleeding the system, the technician was anxious to test drive the new brake system. During the test drive, the technician noticed that the brake pedal grabbed much higher than with the original master cylinder. This delighted the technician. The owner of the vehicle was also delighted until he tried to stop from highway speed. The driver had to use both feet to stop. The technician realized, after the complaint, that the larger master cylinder was able to move more brake fluid, but with less pressure to the wheel cylinders. The new master cylinder gave the impression of better brakes because the fluid was moved into the wheel cylinders and calipers quickly, and the pads and shoes contacted the rotor and drum sooner because of the greater volume of brake fluid moved by the larger pistons in the master cylinder. To calculate the difference in pressure between the original, stock, master cylinder and the larger replacement, the technician used Pascal's law with the following results. Refer to calculations on page 1121. The difference in pressure is 119 psi less with the larger master cylinder. The stopping power of the brakes was reduced because the larger diameter master cylinder piston produced lower pressure. The same force was spread over a larger area, and this means that the pressure, psi, is less. All master cylinders are sized correctly from the factory for the correct braking effort, pressure, pedal travel, and stopping ability. A technician should never change the sizing of any hydraulic brake component on any vehicle. The summary. The complaint: the customer wanted better brakes for racing. The cause: a larger diameter master cylinder was tried, but it required more driver effort to stop. The correction: the original master cylinder was reinstalled. Refer to Figure 98-11. A master cylinder showing the see-through reservoir and the location of the brake fluid level sensor with a cutaway showing the internal pistons. Master cylinder reservoir diaphragm. The entire brake system is filled with brake fluid up to the full level of the master cylinder reservoir. Caution: the master cylinder should never be filled higher than the recommended full mark to allow for brake fluid expansion that occurs normally when the brake fluid gets hot due to the heat generated by the brakes. The reservoir is vented to the atmosphere so the fluid can expand and contract without difficulty, as would be the case if the reservoir were sealed. Being open to the atmosphere allows the moisture in the air to come in contact with the brake fluid. This moisture in the air is absorbed into the brake fluid because brake fluid has an affinity, or attraction, to moisture, or water. To help reduce the moisture from getting in contact with the brake fluid, master cylinders use a rubber diaphragm or floating disc to help seal outside air from direct contact with brake fluid. Tech tip: don't fill the master cylinder without seeing me. The boss explained to the beginning technician that there are two reasons why the customer should be told not to fill the master cylinder reservoir when the brake fluid is down to the minimum mark, as shown in Figure 98-12. Number 1. If the master cylinder reservoir is low, there may be a leak that should be repaired. Number 2. As the brakes wear, the disc brake piston moves outward to maintain the same distance between friction materials and the rotor. Therefore, as the disc brake pads wear, the brake fluid level goes down to compensate. Therefore, if the brake fluid is low, the vehicle should be serviced, either for new brakes or to repair a leak. Refer to Figure 98-12. Master cylinder with brake fluid level at the max, or maximum, line. Refer to Figure 98-13. The typical brake pedal is supported by a mount and attached to the pushrod by a U-shaped bracket. The pin used to retain the clevis to the brake pedal is usually called a clevis pin. Master cylinder operation. The master cylinder is the heart of any hydraulic braking system. Brake pedal movement and force are transferred to the brake fluid and directed to wheel cylinders or calipers. See Figure 98-13. The master cylinder is also separated into two pressure building chambers, or circuits, to provide braking force to one half of the brake in the event of a leak or damage to one circuit. See Figure 98-14. Both pressure building sections of the master cylinder contain two holes from the reservoir. According to the Society of Automotive Engineers, the terms used include: the forward, tapered, high pressure hole is the vent port, also called the compensating port. The rearward straight drilled low pressure hole is called the replenishing port, also called the inlet port, bypass port, filler port, or the breather port. See Figure 98-15. At rest position. The primary sealing cups are between the compensating port hole and the inlet port hole. In this position, the brake fluid is free to expand and move from the calipers, wheel cylinders, and brake lines up into the reservoir through the vent port, or compensation port, if the temperature rises and the fluid expands. If the fluid was trapped, the pressure of the brake fluid would increase with temperature, causing the brakes to self-apply. The pistons, primary and secondary, are retained by a clip at the pushrod end and held in position by return springs. See Figure 98-16. Applied position. When the brake pedal is depressed, the pedal linkage forces the pushrod and primary piston down the bore of the master cylinder. See Figure 98-17. As the piston moves forward, the primary sealing cup covers and blocks off the vent port, or compensating port. Hydraulic pressure builds in front of the primary seal as the pushrod moves forward. The back of the piston is kept filled through the replenishing port. This stops any suction, or vacuum, from forming behind the piston. See Figure 98-18. The secondary piston is moved forward as pressure is exerted by the primary piston. If, for any reason, such as a leak, the primary piston cannot build pressure, a mechanical link on the front of the primary piston touches the secondary piston and moves it forward, as the primary piston is pushed forward by the pushrod and brake pedal. Released position. Releasing the brake pedal removes the pressure on the pushrod and master cylinder pistons. A spring on the brake pedal linkage returns the brake pedal to its normal at rest, or up, position. The spring in front of the master cylinder piston expands, pushing the pistons rearward. At the same time, pressure is released from the entire braking system and the released brake fluid pressure is exerted on the master cylinder pistons, forcing them rearward. As the piston is pushed back, the lips of the seal fold forward, allowing fluid to quickly move past the piston. Some pistons have small holes that allow the fluid to move more quickly. Once the primary seal passes the vent port, the remaining hydraulic pressure forces any excess fluid into the reservoir. See Figure 98-19. Refer to Figure 98-14. A cutaway of a master cylinder. The reservoir feeds both chambers and uses a fluid level switch that activates the red brake warning lamp if the brake fluid level drops too low. Refer to Figure 98-15. Note the various names for the vent port, or front port, and the replenishing port, or rear port. Names vary by vehicle and brake component manufacturer. Vent port and replenishing port are the terms recommended by the Society of Automotive Engineers. Refer to Figure 98-16. The vent ports must remain open to allow brake fluid to expand when heated by the friction material and transferred to the caliper and/or wheel cylinder. As the brake fluid increases in temperature, it expands. The heated brake fluid can expand and flow back into the reservoir through the vent ports. Refer to Figure 98-17. As the brake pedal is depressed, the pushrod moves the primary piston forward, closing off the vent port. As soon as the port is blocked, pressure builds in front of the primary sealing cup, which pushes on the secondary piston. The secondary piston also moves forward, blocking the secondary vent port and building pressure in front of the sealing cup. Refer to Figure 98-18. The purpose of the replenishing port is to keep the volume behind the primary piston filled with brake fluid from the reservoir as the piston moves forward during a brake application. Refer to Figure 98-19. When the brake pedal is released, the master cylinder piston moves rearward. Some of the brake fluid is pushed back up through the replenishing port, but most of the fluid flows past the sealing cup. Therefore, when the driver pumps the brake pedal, the additional fluid in front of the pressure-building sealing cup is available quickly. Front-rear split master cylinders. Front-rear split master cylinders use two separate pressure-building sections. One section operates the front brakes and the other section operates the rear brakes on vehicles equipped with a front-rear split system. See Figure 98-20. The nose end of the master cylinder is the closed end toward the front of the vehicle. The open end is often called the pushrod end of the master cylinder. See Figure 98-21. Some manufacturers operate the front brakes, which do the most braking, from the nose end section, or secondary piston end, of the master cylinder. The secondary piston has only one pressure building seal. The primary piston, or pushrod end, requires two seals to build pressure. Therefore, the nose end of the master cylinder is considered the more reliable of the two master cylinder pressure building sections. Note: on vehicles equipped with front and rear split master cylinders, the front brakes may or may not be operated from the front chamber. General Motors typically uses the front, or nose end, chamber for the front brakes and the rear, or pushrod end, for the rear brakes. Many other makes and models of vehicles use the rear chamber for the front brakes. If in doubt, consult the factory service information for the exact vehicle being serviced. Refer to Figure 98-21. The primary outlet is closest to the pushrod end of the master cylinder and the secondary outlet is closest to the nose end of the master cylinder. Tech tip: too much is bad. Some vehicle owners or inexperienced service people may fill the master cylinder to the top. Master cylinders should only be filled to the maximum level line or about 1/4 inch, or 6 millimeters, from the top to allow room for expansion when the brake fluid gets hot during normal operation. If the master cylinder is filled to the top, the expanding brake fluid has no place to expand and can leak out of the top of the reservoir. The spilled brake fluid removes paint and can cause corrosion of any electrical wiring or components located under the master cylinder. Tech tip: always check for venting, or compensation, whenever diagnosing any braking problem. Start the diagnosis at the master cylinder, the heart of any braking system. Remove the reservoir cover and observe the brake fluid for spurting while an assistant depresses the brake pedal. Normal operation, movement of fluid observed in the reservoir, there should be a squirt or movement of brake fluid out of the vent port of both the primary and secondary chambers. This indicates that the vent port is open and that the sealing cup is capable of moving fluid upward through the port before the cup seals off the port as it moves forward to pressurize the fluid. No movement of fluid observed in the reservoir and the primary piston. This indicates that brake fluid is not being moved as the brake pedal is depressed. This can be caused by the following: A. Incorrect brake pedal height. Brake pedal or pushrod adjustment could be allowing the primary piston to be too far forward, causing the seal cup to be forward of the vent port. Adjust the brake pedal height to a higher level and check for a too long pushrod length. B. A defective or swollen rubber sealing cup on the primary piston could cause the cup itself to block the vent port. Note: if the vent port is blocked for any reason, the brakes of the vehicle may self-apply when the brake fluid heats up during normal braking. Since the vent port is blocked, the expanded hotter brake fluid has no place to expand and instead increases the pressure in the brake lines. The increase in pressure causes the brakes to apply. Loosening the bleeder valves and releasing the built-up pressure is a check that the brakes are self-applying. Then check the master cylinder to see if it is venting. Hydraulic failure. If the rear section of the hydraulic system fails, the primary piston does not build pressure to operate the secondary piston. To permit the operation of the secondary piston, or nose and piston. In the event of a hydraulic failure of the rear section, the primary piston extension mechanically contacts and pushes on the secondary piston. See Figure 98-22. If there is a failure of the front section hydraulic system, the primary piston, or pushrod end, operates normally and exerts pressure on the secondary piston. The secondary piston, however, is not able to build pressure because of the leak in the system. Diagonal split master cylinders. With front-wheel drive vehicles, the weight of the entire powertrain is on the front wheels and 80% to 90% of the braking force is achieved by the front brakes. This means that only 10% to 20% of the braking force is being handled by the rear brakes. If the front brakes fail, the rear brakes alone cannot provide adequate braking force. The solution is the use of a diagonal split master cylinder. See Figure 98-23. In a diagonal split braking system, the left front brake and the right rear brake are on one circuit, and the right front with the left rear is another circuit of the master cylinder. If one circuit fails, the remaining circuit can still stop the vehicle in a reasonable fashion because each circuit has one front brake. To prevent this one front brake from causing the vehicle to pull toward one side during braking, the front suspension is designed with negative scrub radius geometry. This effectively eliminates any handling problem in the event of a brake circuit failure. Left rear disc. Refer to Figure 98-22. In the event of a primary system failure, no hydraulic pressure is available to push the second piston forward. As a result, the primary piston extension contacts the secondary piston and pushes on the secondary piston mechanically, rather than hydraulically. The loss of pressure in the primary system is usually noticed by the driver by a lower than normal brake pedal and the lighting of the red brake warning lamp. Quick take-up master cylinders. Some vehicles use low-drag disc brake calipers to increase fuel economy. However, due to the larger distance between the rotor and the friction pads, excessive brake pedal travel is required before the pads touch the rotor. The solution to this problem is a master cylinder design that can take up this extra clearance. The design of a quick take-up master cylinder includes a larger diameter primary piston, or low-pressure chamber, and a quick take-up valve. This type of master cylinder is also called dual diameter bore, step bore, or fast fill master cylinders. A spring-loaded check ball valve holds pressure on the brake fluid in the large diameter rear chamber of the primary piston. When the brakes are first applied, the movement of the rear larger piston forces this larger volume of brake fluid forward past the primary piston seal and into the primary high-pressure chamber. This extra volume of brake fluid takes up the extra clearance of the front disc brake calipers without increasing the brake pedal travel distance. See Figure 98-24. At 70 to 100 psi, the check ball valve and the quick take-up valve allows fluid to return to the brake fluid reservoir. Because the quick take-up works until 100 psi is reached, a metering valve is not required to hold back the fluid pressure to the front brakes. Refer to Figure 98-23. Front-wheel drive vehicles use a diagonal split master cylinder. In this design, one section of the master cylinder operates the right front and the left rear brake and the other section operates the left front and right rear. In the event of a failure in one section, at least one front brake still functions. Refer to Figure 98-24. Quick take-up master cylinder can be identified by the oversized primary low-pressure chamber. Tech tip. The brake pedal depressor trick the master cylinder can be used to block the flow of brake fluid. Whenever any hydraulic brake component is removed, brake fluid tends to leak out because the master cylinder is usually higher than most other hydraulic components, such as wheel cylinders and calipers. To prevent brake fluid loss that can easily empty the master cylinder reservoir, simply depress the brake pedal slightly or prop a stick or other pedal depressor to keep the brake pedal down. When the brake pedal is depressed, the piston sealing cups move forward, blocking off the reservoir from the rest of the braking system. The master cylinder stays full and the brake fluid stops stripping out of brake lines that have been disconnected. See Figure 98-25. Note: try this, put a straw into a glass of water. Use a finger to seal the top of the straw and then remove the straw from the glass of water. The water remains in the straw because air cannot get into the top of the straw. This is why the brake pedal depressor trick works to prevent the loss of brake fluid from the system, even if the brake line is totally disconnected. Refer to Figure 98-25. A brake pedal depressor like this can be used during brake service to block the flow of brake fluid from the master cylinder during service work on the hydraulic system. Refer to Figure 98-26. Seepage at the booster indicates a leaking secondary, or, end, seal. Diagnosing master cylinders. Visual inspection. A thorough visual inspection is important when inspecting any master cylinder. The visual inspection should include checking the following items. Number 1. Check the brake fluid for proper level and condition. Brake fluid should not be rusty, thick, or contaminated. Number 2. Check that the vent holes in the reservoir cover are open and clean. Number 3. Check that the reservoir cover diaphragm is not torn or enlarged. Note, if the cover diaphragm is enlarged, this is an indication that a mineral oil, such as automatic transmission fluid or engine oil, has been used in or near the brake system, because rubber that is brake fluid resistant expands when exposed to mineral oil. Number 4. Check for any external leaks at the lines or at the pushrod area. See Figure 98-26. Refer to Figure 98-27. Pedal height is usually measured from the floor to the top of the brake pedal. Always follow the manufacturer's recommended procedures and measurements. Refer to Figure 98-28. Pedal height is usually measured from the floor to the top of the brake pedal. Always follow the manufacturer's recommended procedures and measurements. Tech tip: quick and easy brake reserve test. Brake pedal reserve distance can be easily checked by depressing the brake pedal with the right foot and attempting to slide your left foot under the brake pedal. See Figure 98-27. Brake pedal height. Proper brake pedal height is important for the proper operation of the stop, or, brake, light switch. If the pedal is not correct, the pushrod may be in too far forward, preventing the master cylinder cups from uncovering the compensation port. If the pedal is too high, the free play is excessive. See Figure 98-28. Refer to Figure 98-29. Brake pedal free play is the distance between the brake pedal fully released and the position of the brake pedal when braking resistance is felt. Refer to Figure 98-30. Measure the unapplied distance between the brake pedal and the steering wheel. Brake pedal free play. Free play is the distance the brake pedal travels before the primary piston in the master cylinder moves. Most vehicles require brake pedal free play between 1/8 and 1.5 inch, or 3 to 38 millimeters. Too little or too much free play can cause braking problems that can be mistakenly contributed to a defective master cylinder. Check service information for the exact specifications and testing procedures for the vehicles being tested. See Figure 98-29. Brake pedal travel. A more accurate measurement is obtained using a pedal pressure gauge and ruler, following these steps. Step 1. With the ignition off, pump the brake pedal until it becomes firm, or depletes power booster reserve. Step 2. Measure and record the distance from the brake pedal to the lower rim of the steering wheel. See Figure 98-30. Step 3. Apply the brakes with 100 pounds of pressure. Use a brake pedal pressure gauge, if available, to help ensure accurate test results. Step 4. While holding the pedal with 100 pounds of force, measure and record the distance from the pedal to the lower rim of the steering wheel. See Figure 98-31. Step 5. Subtract the applied measurement from the unapplied measurement to get the total travel. Compare the pedal travel with the specification found in service information. As an example, a typical specification is 2.0 inches, 5 centimeters. Note, the brake pedal travel checks on many hybrid electric vehicles are different from this procedure. Refer to service information before checking these vehicles. Refer to Figure 98-31. Apply the brakes and measure the distance again. Master cylinder symptoms. Some common master cylinder fault symptoms include: spongy brake pedal. A spongy pedal with a larger than normal travel indicates air in the lines. Check for leaks and bleed the air from the system, as discussed later in this chapter. Lower than normal brake pedal. A brake pedal that travels downward more than normal and then gets firm is an indication that one circuit of the dual circuit hydraulic system is probably not working. Check for leaks in the system and repair is necessary. Another possible reason is an out of adjustment drum brake allowing too much pedal travel before the shoes touch the brake drum. Note, a lower than normal brake pedal may also be an indication of air in the hydraulic system. Sinking brake pedal. If the brake pedal sinks all the way to the floor, especially when the vehicle is not moving, suspect a defective master cylinder that is leaking internally. This internal leakage is often called bypassing because the brake fluid is leaking past the sealing cups, allowing pressure from one chamber to leak into the other chamber. Refer to Figure 98-32. Use a pry bar to carefully remove the reservoir from the master cylinder. Master cylinder service. Purpose for service. Many master cylinders can be disassembled, cleaned, and restored to service. Disassembly is most commonly done for diagnostic purposes. Note: check the vehicle manufacturer's recommendation before attempting to overhaul or service a master cylinder. Except in cases of contamination, most vehicle manufacturers recommend replacing the master cylinder as an assembly. Disassembly procedure. The disassembly of a master cylinder usually includes the following steps. Step 1. Remove the master cylinder from the vehicle, being careful to avoid dripping or spilling brake fluid onto painted surfaces of the vehicle. Dispose of all old brake fluid and clean the outside of the master cylinder. Step 2. Remove the reservoir, if possible, as shown in Figure 98-32. Step 3. If used, remove the retaining bolt that holds the secondary piston assembly in the bore. Step 4. Depress the primary piston with a blunt tool, such as a Phillips screwdriver, a rounded wooden dowel, or an engine pushrod. Use of a straight blade screwdriver or other non-rounded tool can damage and distort the aluminum piston. Step 5. Remove the snap ring and slowly release the pressure on the depressing tool. Spring pressure should push the primary piston out of the cylinder bore. Step 6. Remove the master cylinder from the vise and tap the open end of the bore against the top of a workbench to force the secondary piston out of the bore. If necessary, use compressed air in the outlet to force the piston out. Caution: if holding the master cylinder in a vise, use the flange area. Never clamp the body of the master cylinder. Warning: use extreme care when using compressed air. The piston can be shot out of the master cylinder with a great force, which could cause personal injury. Refer to Figure 98-33. Piston assembly. Inspection of the master cylinder. Inspect the master cylinder bore for pitting, corrosion, or wear. Most cast iron master cylinders cannot be honed because of the special surface finish that is applied to the bore during manufacturing. Slight corrosion or surface flaws can usually be removed with a hone or crocus cloth. Otherwise, the master cylinder should be replaced as an assembly. Always follow the recommended procedures for the vehicle being serviced. Aluminum master cylinders cannot be honed. Aluminum master cylinders have an anodized surface coating applied that is hard and wear resistant. Honing removes this protective coating. Thoroughly clean the master cylinder and any other parts to be reused, except for rubber components, in clean denatured alcohol. If the bore is okay, replacement piston assemblies can be installed into the master cylinder after dipping them into clean brake fluid. Note: while most master cylinder overhaul kits include the entire piston assemblies, some kits just contain the sealing cups and O-rings. Always follow the installation instructions that accompany the kit and always use the installation tool that is included to prevent damage to the replacement seals. Reassembly of the master cylinder. To reassemble a master cylinder, perform the following steps. Step 1. Install the secondary, or smaller, piston assembly into the bore, spring end first. See Figure 98-33. Step 2. Install the primary piston assembly, spring end first. Step 3. Depress the primary piston and install the snap ring. Step 4. Install the secondary piston retaining bolt, if used. Step 5. Reinstall the plastic reservoir, if equipped, as shown in Figure 98-34. Step 6. Bench bleed the master cylinder. See Figure 98-35. Refer to Figure 98-34. To reinstall the reservoir onto a master cylinder, place the reservoir on a clean flat surface and push the housing down onto the reservoir, after coating the rubber seals with brake fluid. Refer to Figure 98-35. Bleeding a master cylinder before installing it on the vehicle. The master cylinder is clamped into a bench vise while using a rounded end of a dowel rod to push on the pushrod end with bleeder tubes down into the brake fluid. Master cylinder should be clamped on the mounting flange, as shown, to prevent distorting the master cylinder bore. Installing the master cylinder. After the master cylinder has been bench bled, it can be installed in the vehicle. Tighten the fasteners to factory specifications. Bleed the system as needed. Note: brake fluid can drip from the outlet of the master cylinder and could drip onto the vehicle. Brake fluid is very corrosive and can remove paint. Use fender covers and avoid letting brake fluid touch any component of the vehicle. See Figure 98-36. Refer to Figure 98-36. Installing a master cylinder. Always tighten the retaining fasteners and brake lines to factory specifications. Tech tip: key steps when installing a master cylinder. Install the master cylinder retaining bolts loosely so that the master cylinder is free to move. This allows movement of the master cylinder while threading the brake line fittings to the master cylinder. Align each brake line fitting to the proper port and tighten finger tight. The fittings should screw in a number of turns before it stops. Do not force the fittings into the master cylinder with a wrench. After all of the fittings have been started by hand, tighten the retaining bolts and then the brake line fittings with a line wrench. Review questions. Question 1. Explain Pascal's law. Question 2. Describe how a master cylinder works. Question 3. Discuss the difference between a front-rear split and a diagonal split master cylinder. Question 4. What is the difference between checking for venting, or compensation, and bypassing? Question 5. What the master cylinder fault symptoms. Chapter quiz. Question 1. Two technicians are discussing master cylinders. Technician A says that it is normal to see fluid movement in the reservoir when the brake pedal is depressed. Technician B says, a defective master cylinder can cause the brake pedal to slowly sink to the floor when depressed. Which technician is correct? A. Technician A only. B. Technician B only. C. Both technicians A and B. D. Neither technician A nor B. Question 2. What law of hydraulics does the brake system use? A. Ohm's law. B. Pascal's law. C. Watt's law. D. All of the above. Question 3. The primary brake circuit fails due to a leak in the lines, leaving the secondary section of a front-rear split master cylinder. Technician A says that the driver will notice a lower than normal brake pedal and some reduced braking power. Technician B says that the brake pedal will grab higher than normal. Which technician is correct? A. Technician A only. B. Technician B only. C. Both technicians A and B. D. Neither a technician A nor B. Question 4. Two technicians are discussing a problem where the brake pedal travels too far before the vehicle starts to slow. Technician A says that the brakes may be out of adjustment. Technician B says that one circuit from the master cylinder may be leaking or defective. Which technician is correct? A. Technician A only. B. Technician B only. C. Both technicians A and B. D. Neither a technician A nor B. Question 5. Air in the lines causes what type of problem? A. Vibration in the brake pedal during stops. B. Low spongy brake pedal. C. Brake noise. D. Hard brake pedal. Question 6. The master cylinder is able to move about how much brake fluid during each brake application? A. 1 tablespoon. B. 1 teaspoon. C. 1 cubic inch. D. 50 milliliters. Question 7. Brake fluid pressure is measured in what unit? A square inch. B. Pounds. C. Inches. D. PSI. Question 8. How much brake fluid is in a typical master cylinder reservoir? A. 1 gallon. B. Enough to allow all brakes to become completely worn. Circa 15 to 20 liters. D. 1 pint. Question 9. What part in the master cylinder helps keep air from contacting the brake fluid, yet allows the fluid level to drop as the disc brakes wear? A. Vent valve. B. Compensating valve. C. Residual valve. D. Rubber diaphragm or floating disc. Question 10. Technician A says that the brake fluid level should not be filled higher than the max level line to allow room for expansion. When the brake fluid gets hot, Technician B says that the brake system should be checked for leaks or worn disc brake pads if the brake fluid is low. Which technician is correct? A. Technician A only. B. Technician B only. C. Both technicians A and B. D. Neither a technician A nor B. End of chapter 98.